Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. Today, I'm very excited to be joined by Mike Frost, Director of Product Management for Cloud and Platform Technologies at SAS. Welcome, Mike.
Hi, Allison. Great to be here.
So SAS has not been on the program in a while, and I'm very excited to talk to you because I'd love to learn the latest about SAS. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and talk a little bit about what you do?
Sure. In my role at SAS, I represent, if you will, the role of the SAS administrator into our product management team. So we gather requirements about how customers are using our software, and we feed that back into R&D to make sure that our software is designed and can be operated and delivered in a manner that makes it attractive and appealing for, say, people in IT, not necessarily for the end users themselves.
Now, you've seen the integration of more sophisticated use of data to drive decisions in organizations. How has SAS changed, and how have you guys remained on the forefront of what's being delivered in the industry?
Well, there's a lot of different places that we've looked to continuously modernize what we deliver to meet some of the things that have changed over certainly the last 10 to 15 years. If you look, for example, at the increase in big data technology, one of the things that we've done is we've tried to make sure that our algorithms that analyze that data are able to scale and take advantage of the distributed architecture that's exemplified by things like Hadoop. We've also looked to ways to make sure that our operations can make use of the kinds of elastic nature of processing that's pretty typical when you start looking at cloud-based infrastructures. And then finally, we've tried to also look at ways that we can deliver our software that allows our customers to be as flexible as possible about the kinds of infrastructure choices they make, whether they're buying their own servers to fill up their own data centers, or whether they're looking to license analytic capabilities in a variety of different public cloud infrastructures.
What changes in terms of the requirements of the underlying infrastructure for delivering these new types of capabilities that SAS is delivering to the market?
Well, one thing that's pretty different about analytics workloads as compared to, say, data management kinds of workloads is that they do tend to be very memory intensive, and they also tend to need to have very low network latency. And the reason has to do with the kinds of algorithms that are running. In the past, these algorithms were designed to run on one row of data at a time. And that worked great when data sets were generally small and everything could run on a single machine. Well, now what we're seeing, particularly with the rise of machine learning, deep learning, and artificial intelligence as being the new ways that organizations are looking to analyze their data, the algorithms themselves have had to change and adapt. Now we have to take advantage, of course, multi-processing, multi-core, and even multi-node types of processing, where you might be working on a data set that's distributed across multiple machines, but you have to still treat that data set as a single unit. And that means that the algorithms themselves have to be designed differently, and then that also means that the demands that they place on the hardware are different. So one of the things that's expected, for example, is that there's very low latency between the time that a need for data comes in and when it's actually represented and available in memory so that it can be processed. Because you don't want to be I/O bound with respect to your operations. If you are, that has a tendency to slow down how quickly you can get results and do things like identify your customer or be able to address why folks are leaving your loyalty program or to be able to, for example, detect fraud on a credit card operation.
Tell me a little bit about the most interesting use cases that you're seeing from a standpoint of customer implementations of SAS.
Yeah, there's one in particular that comes to mind. It's with a customer called SciSports. That's Sci as in SciSports. They're a customer out of the Netherlands that's taking the concept of Moneyball, which has existed in baseball and basketball, to the world of soccer, or for those folks outside of the U.S., football. And the idea is pretty simple. They want to be able to go to various soccer clubs and say, we can provide you with analytical information to allow you to determine who the best players that you want to target are, and then also provide a more enriched fan experience to bring people closer to the game that they love. And the way that they're doing it is they are breaking the soccer pitch into a 2 centimeter by 2 centimeter by 2 centimeter three-dimensional grid with 14 cameras. And in multiple matches, simultaneously, they're streaming a bunch of information, and they are determining where all 22 players are on the pitch, how fast they're running, how high they're jumping, how hard they're kicking, so they can get to really good mathematical metrics that allows them to assess how players are contributing to the match, how they're doing in an individual game, and of course start to do things like trend that and be able to indicate how effective an attack is at a particular moment. Now, the interesting problem that they've run into is, how do we determine who's on the pitch? And doing that sort of jersey number identification in real time while the match is happening, but using an automated analytics-driven approach to doing that, is a big data problem. So we're working with SciSports to take the models that they've built to train a computer how to look at jersey numbers based on video information and to, in real time, for multiple matches simultaneously, identify who's on the pitch and get that done accurately and provide good, real information for soccer clubs that want to do that scouting, as well as to fans maybe sitting in the stands who want to know, why is that guy just standing there, or why is he taking off and running towards the goal? Let's see if we can determine how successful this particular attack is going to be.
That's cool. And that really shows the capability of predictive analytics, of real-time analytics.
So one of the neat applications that I've seen, for example, of image recognition and machine learning is in building a mobile application that someone can make use of the camera on their mobile phone and point it at a mole on their skin and get a very good assessment of a particular mole and whether they should go seek out a dermatologist or their doctor to get a consultation on whether they might have something that's cancerous or even precancerous so that they can detect melanomas that are developing that haven't yet fully grown into something that's, of course, become malignant and when your chances of recovery, of course, drop statistically to be very low. And I'm excited by the application of these kinds of things to augment, for example, what doctors are doing, but also augment professionals of all types, because there's so much more information out there and so many different ways to use it. But if we're not able to make it approachable and support what people are doing, it's all just a bunch of noise.
Interesting. I like the way that you just took that from sports to the health and longevity of humans to show the range of capabilities that SAS is delivering. I would be remiss to not ask you about collaboration with Intel based on our Xeon processors. Can you comment a little bit on that?
So when we talk about a couple of these use cases, in particular the SciSports example, performance is obviously going to be really important. You want to get those updates in real time as close to when it's happening as possible. So there's sort of generally two different types of operations. There's the training of a model, that is to say, building a model to perform a specific function. In this case, it could be jersey number identification. In order to build that model, there's a lot, particularly when we talk about machine learning algorithms, that goes into that computation. And so what we expect with the Intel Xeon chips is with customers that are using these kinds of algorithms, we expect that they're able to train these models a lot more rapidly. Now, what does that mean to them? It means, first and foremost, that if more information that comes in that would improve the overall performance of the model, they can retrain them more frequently and thus keep the models as fresh as possible, as relevant as possible, and as accurate as possible. So we expect that customers that are looking to get the most out of the analytic investments that they make can have the best model and have that kept as up-to-date as possible by making use of these faster processors from Intel.
Now, we recently announced the Xeon Scalable Platform line, which is our latest rev of Xeon capability in the market, as well as a next generation of SSDs. What types of users would you recommend should look at Xeon Scalable Processor alternatives when considering what infrastructure to deploy their SaaS applications on?
Based on our customer base, the ones that are looking at complex analytic algorithms, particularly those that involve machine learning algorithms, the kinds of things that are multi-pass algorithms, like a stepwise logistic regression, a lot of the things that you would tend to get in data mining and some of these more traditional types of analytic operations that are more computationally intensive as opposed to something where you're mostly doing light data prep and things.
Now, final question for you. If folks are listening online and they're interested in learning more about SAS and how they could get involved in a trial or deployment of SAS, where would you send them for more information?
We've got our SAS VIA, our new platform. You can go out to sas.com/VIA, and that's spelled V-I-Y-A, to look at a trial. For those customers that are interested in kind of the combination of SAS technologies and new hardware coming out from Intel, there's a solution brief at intel.com/SAS where you can look and see kind of the combination of the technology and how there's benefits for organizations of all shapes and sizes.
Fantastic. Well, Mike, thank you so much for your time today. It's always a pleasure. SAS is such a cool tool to transform what businesses can deliver in terms of insights, decision-making tools, and experiences for customers. I love to talk to you guys. Had a great time on the show.
Thanks, Allison.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.